Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by PillPack, a full-service online pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescriptions. By DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation. We recap Dayton 2016. Hello, everybody. It's me, Bob Heil. Dayton was really tough. It's pretty much flattened me, but I'm back. But I thought with all the fun we had, we'd have a little fun here tonight. I am at the Heil Sound Assembly plant, where we have been ferociously building what I'm talking in, as well as other things. But I like to show up here occasionally and let you see what's going on here. But boy, do we have a good time at Dayton, and you're going to see a lot of pictures and wonderful video and all of that. And to help me do that, we're going to have Gordon West. How are you doing, Gordo? You had a good time?
I had a great time with snow in Keystone, as well as not much rain in Dayton. And speaking of weather, this Saturday, Bob, the annual pre-hurricane season station test at the WX4NHC, National Weather Center for Hurricanes, down in Miami. They'll be on the air 14-325 and a host of other channels. And look at this. We saw CQ Magazine out with their June issue. CQ is doing great. So good news on the weather front. Back to you, yay, Bob.
All right. We'll be back to you in a little bit, because I know you have a bunch of favorite pictures that you took at Dayton. And Don, we really missed you. I don't have even close to enough fingers, toes, and everything else to count the many, many people that missed you. So maybe next year we'll get to see you with us all. But you have a lot of fans here, as you well know.
Well, that just proves one thing. All those people, A, they're all wonderful, and B, they're all totally and completely starved for entertainment. But I missed you guys horribly. I really, really wanted to go, just wasn't in the cards. But that's okay, because while y'all were up there at Dayton, I got to go to my son's Navy Junior ROTC Awards Banquet and Navy Ball, where he went up and stood at attention and received 3 awards. So wow. Very proud of Tyler, and he's just the best. I was gonna throw some pictures in the Dropbox and forgot to do it. I got them on Facebook. If you're one of my Facebook friends, you can go and check them all out. But anyway, I want to see these Dayton pictures. So let's get to it. I want to see these Dayton pictures.
Okay, well, we've got them all, but George has got the best one. He's got all the video from the great workshop and forum that we did. And I think that it lasted an hour and a half or so, and there were like 250 people there. Did you have enough tape in your video recorder, George?
We did, Bob. We got around an hour's worth of video there, and I chopped it down to some of the best bits from the Ham Nation forum. It was a lot of fun, and, you know, as always, practically a standing room only crowd in there. And that was a big room, and so fun to see everyone at Dayton this year. We've really missed you, Don, but we did get to spend a little time with Cincinnati Short Rib.
Oh, isn't he the best? I love Short Rib.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing him in Huntsville, hopefully. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back to you for all of those, but I thought we'll run through some things I have here real quick, and a lot of this is just some good old people that we see year to year at Dayton, as well as some of my friends and a lot of Ham Nation viewers and fans. And this, by the way, is the fifth year and a day. We started this whole thing 5 years ago, so kind of a fun night to reminisce on all of that. And here's some of the folks that'll be around to help us the next 5 years, too. Alex, if you'll roll some of those, we'll just go through them quickly. Before I get started, George, what do you think about this? This was on Wednesday, way before. I had the solder connector. Does it look like I had all the right tools, George?
It looks like you do, Bob. I can't see what you were using solder-wise there, but you're certainly prepped to do it.
Well, I got it from Julius.
Oh, well, it should be good then.
Yeah, should be good. There you are. We did have rosin core. We did not use. He wanted to give me some acid core, but I said, no, we better use rosin core. I had to make an adapter for my 1/8-inch to XLR. And so we did that, and I appreciate Julius letting us use that. So now we'll roll on, and once we got all that going, we were cool. And this is the hall. This is just about a third of it down in the main hall. And on the other end, it keeps on going. This is another part of it. We'll see some more here tonight. Lots of kids, lots of moms, lots of kids. I just love seeing all these kids. This was Diane, KE0BDI, and her kids. And KB0BDJ is Anna. Thanks for coming by. And we see next the twins, the mother. Now, that's a mother. Is she gorgeous or what? Now, who is that? Well, the next slide will tell you it's the mother of Marty. I told Marty, if you bring your mother, you got to bring her by. So they came by to meet Sarah and I, and Sarah was really, really happy to meet his mother. So thanks for coming by. Next, the twins. You remember about a year ago, the twins were on the show, James and Joe, KC3CSH and CSI. They ran home from Dayton and got on the air. So Todd, their father, told me, K3TAJ. And this was Hillary. If you remember, she and her sister were on, too, this last year. They're going to be back on again soon. Her sister's been away for a while, K8OWS. And it's always good to see them down the line. Who are these guys? the guy on the right's the most important. That's W7UDI, the 20-meter net control. And what a help he was. Steve is always great help. He's my roadie, as he said. He set up all the audio gear. This is a special picture. Has very fond memories to me. When I was playing the organ in 1965 and 66 in Columbus, Ed was a 15-year-old bus boy. And I talked a lot about ham radio on my breaks to him. Well, he has become a ham radio operator, and he came to Dayton to see me all these many years later. Thanks for coming by. That was great, Ed. And this is Bill. Bill is a great guy. Gordo, look closely. He brought to me this special book. And I got to look through it. The next slide will show you the copy of the front page. 1921. Oh. It's called The Principles Underlying Radio Communications.
Wow.
And it's the Signal Corps U.S. Army manual for radio communications. And he's had it all these years. I was so thrilled. And he thought that maybe I would like to see it. Boy, did I. And look at that, 1922. this is the kind of thing everybody asks me. How do you keep cranked up on ham radio? This is the kind of thing that does it for me, seeing all these wonderful things. So thanks for bringing it by, Bill. These are a bunch of my AM friends. We work these guys a lot on 75 and 40. There's Borgie and all these guys that we talk to Well, almost daily. Tim there on the left, QJE. So we're glad they stopped by. And we've got another group of them. On the left is Masa, AB9OQ. He is really a great guy. He's from Normal, Illinois. And he's from Japan. And he came over here, I think, in the 80s. And he wasn't on the air for many years. So he walks into an office somewhere in the 90s and took all four, all the way from technician all the way through to extra in one sitting, Gordon. So that's somebody that spent time studying. So that was Masa. This is a wonderful friend. I've known Tony for decades. He's a leader in the Collins Collectors. And if you listen to the net at all, you'll hear Tony. Good guy. And here's Crazy Rob, K5UJ, and his buddy Greg, WB9DNZ. We see Greg almost every year at the Hamfest. And again, these are guys that we talk to on AM, and they mean a lot to all of amateur radio to keep that part going. And this is Mike. Now, Mike was on. Let's see. Let's just Dave wake up. Dave was on about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago with Valerie, and he's the leader of all of these big time D expeditions. And Dave, we appreciate you coming so much because you mean a lot to this organization. And this is a great friend. Mike and I on the left, we've been friends forever, as is Marcel. The special note about Marcel, he's from the University of Missouri, and he's the guy that sponsored me when I got my doctorate at the U of Missouri, and I really appreciate what he did. We talked to them on the air a lot. And I want to know an answer to this question. Where did he get that shirt? Jim Lang got a shirt. Did you get a shirt, George? George, did you have a shirt? We didn't have the shirt. So thanks a lot, Jim. I appreciate the picture, actually. So that's fun. Now, this is Brian. Brian is from DZ. They build these really great kits. And what we want to do here is run a short video that he run me through his latest kit. And for you guys and gals that want to build, here you go. Check out his company. And this is all touchscreen stuff. It's very, very well done. And I really applaud Brian for what he's done over the years. He keeps coming up with some really super things. And it's all pretty much modular, where you just plug together what you want. If you want a 100-watt power amp, you plug in a 100-watt module there in the middle. You want a 10-watt amp, you can do that too. And all of these just plug together, so you don't have to build all the SMA stuff, but you do have to put the chassis together and plug it all in. But it's DZ Kit is the name of the company, and you might want to look it up. But that was my little, just a small part of what went on at Dayton for me. It's always very busy. We introduced the new PR77 that I'm using tonight, and we also introduced the new HC74. The old HC4 contest element is back, and of course, it's in the Pro 7, and we're very excited about that. And we'll have more stuff about that later. But we want to roll on and see what else is happening, because I know there are much better things that I did. I just threw that together real quick, but. We're going to go back to Don, because I think he's got a word about if we get sick, what you can do about it. What do you think, Don?
Yeah, I'm so sick about missing Dayton. I had to order another one. I emptied it out because I just needed to really self-medicate really, really hard, because I was missing you guys so bad. But PillPack is a full-service online pharmacy that will make you wonder why you ever settle for traditional pharmacy. Like, for instance, you can take all those medicine bottles that you have scattered all over, in my case, it's the kitchen, out on the counter, and you can replace it with this. You just rip off the one that you need, and it's right there. You can see through the back of it. It's got descriptions on the front as to what it is. You don't have to worry about trying to get those freaking caps off. you know, the childproof caps that only a child can take off, because if you're an adult with arthritis, there's no way you're going to get them off. You don't have to worry about with PillPack. And you don't have to wait for your prescriptions either. You don't have to sort your own pills like my mother-in-law had to do in Cincinnati when she was there. You have to chase down doctors for refills. The pharmacists take care of everything for you. They use advanced technology to sort all of your medications and vitamins by the date and time for each dose, and it's all right here on the pack. You can also order inhalers, creams, diabetes supplies, and they come in refrigerated, easy-to-open packages. Shipping is always free. Pharmacists are available all the time, 24/7, 365, and you can speak to them from the privacy of your own home or even if you're on the go. PillPack has truly designed their pharmacy to make your life easier, and they've very quickly disrupted the pharmacy industry. I'm telling you, these brick-and-mortar places, they are looking at PillPack, and they're looking at them hard. What's great is that PillPack is compatible with most major insurance plans, including most forms of Medicare Part D. The service is free. It means you only pay the copay set up by your insurance provider. Why would you keep fooling around with going down to the pharmacy and then, I'm sorry, we're going to have to order that for you. We don't have that in that's a bunch of hooey. Get rid of all the pills. Get rid of all the bottles. Get rid of the hassle and get this little blue square and put it where you can get to it, because this is the answer to your prayers if you take any kind of medication at all. And even if you take over-the-counter vitamins, you're taking something. This is the answer to your prayers. I want you to go to pillpack.com/twit to sign up now. It only takes you 5 minutes to get you started. And when you use the link, pillpack.com/twit, and transfer your prescriptions to PillPack, you'll get credit for $20 worth of vitamins and over-the-counter stuff. It's pillpack.com/twit. PillPack.com/TWIT. Do yourself a favor and throw all those old bottles away and get the little blue square. And it's a lovely color of blue as well. Anyway, you're going to love PillPack. I promise you will. Let's go see what George has got going on. We've got more Dayton reminiscing. And in fact, I'll probably be out of medication by the time George gets done here. Go ahead, George.
Well, Don, just to make you feel a little bit better, I'll show you some of the things that I brought back from Dayton this year. This
should take one right now. Wait, hang on. Go ahead and just take one right now. I don't even know what this is, but it doesn't matter.
Well, what's the time? No, it's too early, isn't it?
Oh, no.
Okay. The Moose Crossing sign should cheer you right up. That came courtesy of Mike, VE3MIC, that we see in the chat room all the time. We had a great time visiting with him and Cousin Jerry there. And, you know, that's just what I needed here in Mississippi, was a Moose Crossing sign. You know, we were real busy at the show. And as always, I don't get to spend enough time walking around the floor, walking around out in the flea market, my favorite place. But I did get a few things there, and I thought I'd show them real quick. You know, every ham should have a box of RF adapters, because you never know what you're going to need to hook to what else. There was some empty space in mine here, so I took the opportunity to help out with that a little. I got some of these type-ins to BNCs, male and female. And I had some of these already, but they had some really nice-looking silver-plated. Boy, that's shiny, isn't it, Don? Silver-plated female BNCs to male type-ins. And I bought a pair of those, and I handed the guy a $20 bill. And instead of change, he gave me some silver-plated PL-259. So, you know, that was just as good. One other thing I got, I did make it out in the flea market, looked around a little out there, found a few odds and ends, but this is the most expensive thing that I bought at Hamvention this year, and it was only $30 out in the flea market. It's a mini circuits directional coupler that I'm going to use with my spectrum analyzer to do some antenna measurements, one thing or another. I've never had a spectrum analyzer before, or a directional coupler to use with it. So I got a lot of learning and fun to have with all this. But speaking of fun, we know most of you missed the Ham Nation forum, so we brought back a little bit of footage here to show you all what it was about.
Before I pulled out of the parking lot, I called Joe.
That's like Walsh plays a guitar somewhere. But he's also WB6ACU, and he's the guy that turned me on to Leo when we lived in California. He said, you got to listen to these guys. He's on KFI every weekend. And so that's where I got to Leo. But anyway, I called him. I was still in the parking lot. I said, hey, I'm here with your buddy Leo. And he said, wants to do a program on ham radio. Well, let's do it. The second guy I called to give us some support, since Leo liked it and said, go ahead, was Gordon West. And Gordo and I have been friends for a long, 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 long time. And I thought this would be good. And that's how it happened. George came across to my mind because I saw some of the his shows. And we got together, and it just keeps building. And I saw the chat room, and this Val came up with all these, well, I know this XRQ-12, and they're going to Manzo Beach and all of these. I'm going, wait a minute. And she knew all the things. And so I wrote her a letter, and so, come here.
I remember that chat room because at that time I was the pilot station for Amsterdam Island, FT5ZM, and I was getting ready to head off to contest from PJ6, which is Saba Island, so You probably saw my little contesting and DXing stuff going on in the chat room. What was my first DX is a question. That was, I threw some speaker wire. I think, Dale, you were with me when we threw that up on the roof. And lo and behold, I was hearing signals outside of Milwaukee area. And my first DX was the Netherlands. I don't remember the call. I probably should. But that was my first DX. I worked for a video gaming company. And I'm an accountant by trade, and whenever things were slow, I would go down to technical support and help those guys out, putting in new EEPROM chips or swapping out power supplies or whatever I could do that was geeky. And none of them knew any hams. They all just thought it would be cool to go get their ham ticket. Well, I couldn't go that weekend, so I talked my 16-year-old daughter at the time into going with me to a ham class, and we both walked out of there with technician's license. And I was on 2 meters for a while. As a matter of fact, I was activities manager for 2 meters. And I was so proud the day I scored Gordo. I was your chauffeur to our ham meeting and to come talk to our group. Anyway, but I've been licensed. I'm coming up on my first renewal in November. I will have been licensed 10 years. So.
Wow, that's great. You know, Bob, we've got Steve that's monitoring all the great work we're doing here. Since Steve's got his monitoring gear going, on the count of three, we would like to hear your call sign. And if ever we're going to interrupt any other forums, let's make it loud and clear. Okay? Your call signs, 1, 2, 3.
Just the Kilo Bravo.
Oh. Now, that's called a tail ender. We are so delighted we have such great hams here. And all of you make ham radio happen. And, Bob, we have a special guest that continues to make ham radio happen. How many have seen the great show Last Man Standing that's on for yet another year? John Amadeo. John, come right on up.
It's so much fun to be here. I can't believe it. The Ham Nation Forum at Dayton, right? Right. So, well, yeah, I'm John Amadeo, NN6JA, and I'm the producer of Last Man Standing. Now, that's an ABC television comedy. It's on Friday nights at 8 o'clock and 7 Central. And it does star Tim Allen. And interestingly, when I met Tim Allen the very first time and we started to talk about his character, Mike Baxter, he was going to be the marketing manager of a outdoor man store, kind of like a Cabela's. And he said, well, I would have expertise in camping and hunting and fishing and hiking and also all the technologies that went along with that. And I'm also going to be a bit of a survivalist. So my family will have a bomb shelter with freeze-dried food and water backups and solar power and radio equipment. And I went, oh, what's that mean? He said, you know, ham radio. I said, oh, I know ham radio. Rather than put a cardboard box with blinking lights labeled ham radio in the background, I got on the phone and started calling the manufacturers. And luckily for me, Ray Novak came to our rescue. And about 5 years ago, maybe almost six, he started to loan us ICOM equipment. And we put ICOM equipment in various sets to make what looked like on television very real ham radio equipment. And then I said, well, then, if that's the case, why not make them real? Why not make them functional? So we actually put antennas on the roof of our stage, which is in Studio City, California, about 70 or 80 feet in the air, and ran nice LMR 400 down to those radios and made them functional amateur radio stations. At dinner time, so on Tuesday nights while we're shooting, we go live on the air from the set of of Last Man Standing. We get on the Mike Baxter's radio, which at the moment is a ICOM IC7851. Not a bad radio. And I hear a lot of your 10 over, 20 over, 40 overs. And we go on for about an hour to an hour and a half. And while we're doing that, the audience is loading in, 200 real people, not a fake laugh track. They load in, sit down, and our DJ starts lightly to play music in the background. And I just watch the clock as the audience loads in. And we make as many contacts as we can, usually 100 or 200. We get big pileups every week. And at a certain point, as the actors are gathering, ready to be introduced, we got to pull the plug. And we pull the plug, bring the actors in, and do a show. Thank you so much, Bob. Well, you know, your show is my favorite show to watch. Well, so.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate you being here today and letting us know a little bit of that background. We're going to look up and see what we got. We'll come out and see you on some of the filming.
Come out and get work my station.
Thanks for coming.
I'll give you a pileup.
Thanks for coming. George, we really appreciate all you do, and I know you have a tough job now because you're fixing 50,000-watt transmitters. That's probably a little more intricate than soldering a little code oscillator. You got to watch where you put your finger.
It is, yeah. You got to watch where you put everything when you're working with big broadcast transmitters. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, I had done that earlier in my career. I was a broadcast engineer for some television stations and radio stations. Then I got out of that for over a decade and just did computers for radio stations. Well, now I'm back engineering again. And, you know, I'm kind of enjoying it after being out for so many years to get back now.
Sure.
And, you know, this stuff's not very forgiving. It's when you've got 100,000-watt FM or 50,000-watt AM, when you hit that push-to-talk button, you better be sure that everything's ready to go.
Gets lots of pops and crackles.
Yep.
Well, we really appreciate all you bring to the show, and I know that it's tough because in the beginning you had a little more time to build some of these things, but you're getting back to doing a few of those things.
I am.
That's good.
I've got a backlog of things I want to build and some different techniques. You know, that's as much fun as building something and just showing how do you do this? Because somebody showed me, or either I spent a lot of time figuring it out.
Exactly.
And you know how.
And we can't forget to mention Randy, because Randy helps you a lot with bringing some different segments to the show. And now we got old John, 6 NBC, and he does some things. And we've got other people that will be joining in the smoke and solder portion.
Yeah, I'm kind of, since I can't produce one every week, like I had done for so long, because it was taking at least 8 hours, you know, for the little 10-minute segment. I still plan to do some, but Randy, K7AG, he's been a big help. Of course, he's building a house now and has been clearing off a forest in Oregon. So,
well, that's great. Well, it's so good to have you with us, and I appreciate all you do for the show. And we're going to continue doing a lot of things that that you ask about. I get a lot of emails, as you do, and we try to answer those. We really do.
Can I get an early check-in, Steve?
Yeah. Sure, George. You're in the log.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike was in Hawaii for the last 17 days. He just came back Wednesday. So, and then Mike has been off during the wintertime.
Yeah.
And so during the wintertime, when 20 meters just doesn't work, I go down and help out the 20-meter, the 40-meter net. So there I am doing the 40-meter. A couple times I said, calling for check-ins on the 20-meter net here on 40 meters. Like, uh-oh.
Well, but, we really appreciate what all you guys do, because
thank you.
You're on the air longer than we are usually.
There's nights I'll be on the air for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I just go until 20 meters dies. And then, this last week, we had 49 check-ins just on 20. And if you've ever checked into the 20-meter net, you know I like to talk.
Well, that's what amateur radio is all about. And the net control things just really continues to bring new viewers to us, because they've never heard of the program, and they hear the guys talk after the net. That's really super.
Yeah, and Now, I don't want to leave out the – we have other nets. So we have the 40 – you know, we always talk about the 20 and the 40-meter net, but we have the D-Star net. So if you have – you know, for your technicians, if you got a D-Star radio, boom, there you go, 14 Charlie, the D-Star net, right after the show. And then if you don't have the D-Star radio, there is Echolink and the Do Drop In. So there's a couple of places. You know, we try to get everybody involved.
What does Vegemite taste like?
Ah.
You know, that, yeah, if you took the nastiest tasting vitamins that you could find, ground them all up, mixed it with axle grease, I think you'll get a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I never forget it because it's all of you that I learn all this stuff from and I pick it up every day. And it's the same thing with you, right? You don't have 14 college degrees, do you?
No, I don't. Yeah. I just, you know, picked up a microphone and soldering iron and started.
You barely got out of high school like me probably, right?
I'm still in high school.
No,
yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're so blessed that all of you make this show what it is. And I can't thank you enough, Valerie.
Thank you, Bob.
And we'll see you somewhere on the air or behind a screen next Wednesday.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Well, that's a little bit of the Ham Nation Forum from Dayton Hamvention this year. A lot of fun. We met a lot of great people at the Ham Fest. You know, last week while I was here, I asked a question. What is the name of a circuit that generates a signal of a desired frequency? And your choices were A, reactance modulator, B, product detector, C, low-pass filter, or D, oscillator. Well, I had a winner. Of course, a lot of you answered it, but there can only be one winner, and Pierre Vacon, KD2EPQ, and I probably butchered his name there, he said, George, the answer is an oscillator. So congratulations, Pierre. We're going to send you this MFJ-270 lightning surge suppressor. Great for putting on your coax and trying to keep some of the lightning surges out of the shack. I've got another prize for next week, and you might see it here behind me. That's this DX Engineering 24-hour wall clock. And I've got another question here. If you'd like to win this, then answer this question. Oh, by the way, this one's going to be on Ham College tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central at live.amateurlogic.tv. I saw this question when I was typing them in, and at first glance, I had forgotten the answer to it. So answer this. How might you obtain a list of active nodes that use VOIP or voice over IP? How can you do it? A, from the FCC rule book. B, from the local emergency coordinator. C, from a repeater directory. Or D, from the local repeater frequency coordinator. If you want this clock and you think you know the answer, then send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might be next week's lucky winner. And now let's get Don back in here. Don, speaking of DX Engineering, have you got a little something to tell us about?
As a matter of fact, I do, and I got one of those clocks. It's right up. It's right, you can't see it because it's on the other side of the camera, but that's a great clock. I mean, it looks awesome up on my wall, and I can look up there and see UTC immediately. That's why I have mine set to UTC, which is great because, you know, that's what you're going to log everything in. But if you went to Dayton, I know in the main arena, you could not miss DX Engineering. It's probably the sharpest looking of all of the retailers at the whole Hamvention. I mean, it's very professional looking because it is that. It is just amazing. And that goes from the newest hourly employee all the way up to Tim Duffy, who's in charge of that thing. Just the most amazing people and the most amazing stuff. And the DX Engineering team, you know, they teased a whole bunch of new products at Hamvention being introduced over the next few months. If you weren't able to attend, I'll tell you about some stuff. You're not going to talk to anybody if you can't hear them, right? So the NCC2 improves upon DX Engineering's popular NCC1 receive antenna variable phasing controller. Combines the NCC1 phase controller and an RTR1A receive antenna interface. Technology is all in one box. That lets you... there's my phone going off. My wife calling me, telling me she's on her way home. If she was a ham, she could have just called me. But of course, I'm busy telling you about DX Engineering. But there you go. This allows you to phase, transmit, and receive antennas more easily. It's a great feature if you've got space constraints on your property. You live in a small little lot. The NCC2 offers enhanced balance functionality that increases the ability to phase between two different types of antennas. And you can expand the NCC2's versatility by using the new internal slots for plug-in module versions of the DX Engineering Receive Guard and RPA Series preamp. Some other new products that have these expansion slots, the all-new Receive Antenna Interface, the RTR2. Great solution if you want to add a separate receive antenna, even if your radio does not have a dedicated receive antenna port. It's not a problem. The RTR2 simplifies interconnections with three internal slots for plug-in modules. And these modules include the DX Engineering Receiver Guard 5000 HD and the new RPA2 receive preamp and a plug-in module that adapts your 75-ohm feed line to 50-ohm receiver input impedance. You're not going to know just how handy that is until you need to do that. The all-new DX Engineering automatic bandpass filter gives you the ability to select from one of six bandpass filters with a single push of a button, and the DXE419 filters out unwanted bands, so you only hear the band you've selected. Having multiple filters in one box means you can quickly switch bands without the hassle of changing components in your signal path. You know, field day is coming up. That DXE419 filter would be wonderful to have if you're using multiple radios, multiple antennas on multiple bands at the same time, right? The new DX Engineering automatic bandpass filter comes with filters for 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10, and it'll handle 100 watts. The new gear is in final testing, will be available at dxengineering.com by late summer. DX Engineering, as you know, ships faster than anybody else in the industry. If you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern and if it's in stock, it will be on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request a catalog, shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And Mel, K8KSU, she's in the chat room all the time. Say, hi, Mel. Hi, Melly Mel. Say hi to Mel. And there's usually two or three other people from DX Engineering in the chat room. They're in there right now. So give Mel some love. Give them all some love and give them your order. 24/7. DXEngineering.com. They help you shrink the globe. The catalog's there. You can also order it or order online at DXEngineering.com/hamnation. A wonderful part of the Ham Nation family, and we couldn't do it without them. So there you go. I believe it's time for Gordon and some short shots, isn't it?
I think it is, and you're absolutely right, Don, about DX Engineering. Wow, do they look great inside. Well, speaking of outside, Amanda kept saying, got to come to Colorado. We got to do the ARRL Rocky Mountain Convention. So I said, okay, that's a week before Dayton. Let's do it. Alex, let's do it. The Rocky Mountain Ham Radio Convention is up at 10,000 feet. And you've got to get your breath when you're up at 10,000 feet. So I thought I'd walk around a little bit before the convention began. And if you look real carefully in the center of the picture, just above the first little lake edge, you'll see something dark. Well, I didn't realize what it was until I was on that path that walked right by it. And a pal came up saying, just keep walking very slowly. Well, having no idea what was out there, that next morning I met up with a Rocky Mountain group. And the Rocky Mountain Radio, this is their communications van that saw a lot of action in the Colorado wildfires. Thanks to John Maxwell, W0BG, who headed up this project, he says that we're not a club, but rather we are hams that put in sweat equity, and all of the hams came up with all of this gear for this emergency communications trailer. And as you can see, it's got one of everything, and it is self-contained. It's got a huge battery system in the nose, and this is where all the relay repeaters are and so on. So, John, W0BG, you did well outfitting this trailer. And this goes along with their mobile communications van with a hydraulic mast, and that got that antenna way up. They really know how to do things at 10,000 feet in Colorado. In the background is the facility, and this facility, Keystone Convention Center, as well as the Keystone Hotel, wow, it was great. We had plenty of exhibitors, and we're getting ready just before they opened up the gates. And when they did, I was there doing a ham radio instructor academy, and our room was packed. And as you see, there's the extra class books, the new extra 2015 all the way to 2020, make that 16 to 2020. And things were literally hopping with fellow instructors. And that's Riley Hollingsworth. He came and gave the convention a big get together. And we had from the American Radio Relay League, Rick, the new president. So it was good. And look, George, there you are. There is your moose. And what I didn't realize the night before was they were telling me, keep moving or else this moose is going to help you off that little path. So look at that earlier photo, and you'll see that the moose is there. So everybody was chowing down, including this live moose. Well, a trip over the hill, Loveland Pass, to get me back to Denver to go to Dayton. Michael, way too much. Mike takes me up to the snow, and as you can see, it was snowing. All right, we're off to Colorado. From Colorado through Dallas to Dayton. And we're going to concentrate not so much inside, but you see this hardware pictured on the badge is Robert Young, Tar Heel, NC4RY. Tar Heel antennas on the outside were everywhere. First of all, magnetic mount HF antennas do work as long as they don't have a tag that says this antenna will not work on a mag mount. Most HF antennas will, even including this one that wasn't supposed to, but it worked just swell over ground. But again, we've talked about this in the past. Here was a ham that said, you know, I just can't get my HF ATAS to load up. Take a look why. It's in the middle of the roof. That's great. But the main ground plane, 3 inches below, offers capacitive reactance to the point that it won't tune until it's flat on the deck. Well, at Dayton, we saw all sorts of Tar Heel antennas and a few others, all pretty much motorized. That one's hanging off the stern. That one loaded up great, says the operator. And we wanted to see some other HF antennas, but inside, we saw what Hustler was saying. Yeah, put three of resonators on there, and each one will, without a tuner, automatically resonate. Well, we go outside, we find someone, and he says, yep, I can do 10, 15, or 20, and they load up great gate. This fella says, who needs to buy a commercial one? I just wind my own. You take a close look at that, and yeah, they play well. And automatically, the RF goes through the one that is resonant, series resonance, and it worked great. Even some old-time marine type of multi-band antennas, they were there at the Dayton parking lot. And we saw all sorts of ways of mounting these big motorized antennas. This one off the frame, and he says it loads up great. This one off the side of the vehicle with a Lexan to keep it from swinging back and forth. It works great. This one, this is a homebrew motorized one. And it's, look at that bottom mounting. It's major into the frame. It works great. Here's another version on a pickup truck. It worked great. Notice the yellow marks. That's so we can look in the rearview mirror and see where the tuning contactor is located. Pretty darn smart. Here's an HF antenna that's probably pre-tuned with a tuner on the inside using the metal of that vehicle to cause it to properly resonate. Another nice installation with good secure holding of it. Big HF antenna on a pickup truck. And he says he talks all over the country. Here's another one. And this is off the K400 diamond mount. And he does have a support up where you can't quite see it. And he says it works well. Oh, wow. Those of you with a fifth wheel that undo the fifth, well, take a look at this. That's a major spring. Looks like a military mount. And it loads up fine. Now, this fellow at the hotel actually had a loop all the way around the top of his vehicle. Not much higher than the top of the vehicle, maybe a foot up. Had an automatic ICOM antenna tuner. And he showed me some of his QSLs. This thing is a talking antenna system. Looks a little strange, but nonetheless, it worked. There's Charlie's Hi-Q antenna with a good solid mount. And it worked well. Here's the ATAS from Yaesu. And again, it's mounted up relatively high on the vehicle, and it works just fine. Now, this fellow was walking around carrying his own QRP wagon. There was enough metal so that this little antenna resonated quite nicely, motorized, and he was on the air talking all over the place on 15 and 20 meters QRP wagon portable. Or would that be mobile? Who's to know? But it was great. Close-ups of adapting a trailer hitch mount to be able to hold an antenna, W8 Kilo Tango, member of Skywarn. And most of these antennas do have a shunt coil, and that's to cause the impedance to get back up near 50 ohms when you're on 40 and 75 meters. So coils are important. And we saw some, coils are not that important to leave them hanging out in the breeze. He might want to put those a little lower. So we'll get them. No more coils. Thank you. This fella had a nice setup. However, I had asked him, I said, does it load? And he said, well, it loads up not bad, but he's got the coil right next to that metal. Here's the Hi-Q contactor from Charlie, and this is a great 5-inch coil, motorized, and it works great. This fella says, I can make my own, and he sure did out of a plastic container. It looked like a homebrew kludge, but when he picked up the mic and made contact with a station in California from Dayton, I was a believer. So you can't judge an antenna by how it looks. This one feeds to an automatic antenna tuner inside the vehicle and worked fairly well. Mounted a little bit low. This is good. He's got the antenna up on the trunk lid, and he had a little problem loading it. And take a look again, X sub C. He's got some capacitive between the plate and the trunk lid itself. But nonetheless, it did load. Here's another motorized antenna. I think this goes to a Hi-Q off the frame of the vehicle. And that was a good one. This one you would pre-tune, then put into place, and it's a fixed band antenna, and not six, but fixed to one band, and it worked super. Probably took out some fluorescent lights. There's another, I think it's a Hi-Q antenna with a black coil, and this was a good performing on top of someone's motorhome. So all of this out in the flea market at Dayton, Ohio. The smaller antennas like an Outbacker or a Hamstick, they work super off of the K400 mount. And Wayne at Diamond says that's one of the most popular mounts around. You tighten up the screws on the inside of the vehicle as we did on our rental car, and they'll never know it was hanging a big antenna. And the nice thing about the K400 mount is it's nice looking, but wait a minute, watch out. See where the red tail light assembly is? If you let that little lip crunch it when you close the thing, you've just broken your stoplight. So be careful you don't kill your stoplight cover. You may have to bend that out just a little bit to clear it. There's the last of the Outbackers. Not many left. Don Arnold brought them into the country, and wow, they were popular. Now, this is the Diamond series of HF antennas, and wow, they just work great. The best part, when you get to where you're going, you just loosen up the little doodad and lay that little mama down and drive right in. No, there's no hope if you leave it up by mistake, but the Diamond antennas are great. Well, that night, ICOM was having a little get-together, and there's Carol Perry, who did several seminars for instructors and classes for instructors teaching youth. and the icon was a costume party, and she was about ready to be attacked. And there's the ICOM sales manager, Will Jourdain, AA4WJ, on the right. Will is working with Ray and making sure that everybody behaves themselves out there as he travels around the country. And there were some spooky people at the ICOM get-together, and this one kept accosting me. I had no idea who he was, but he looked pretty menacing. And once he had me by the neck, I finally figured it out. No other than Ray Novak. Ray, wow, what a trooper. He has worked so hard to represent ICOM. Well, next week we're going to talk about what's happening on the inside of the Hera Arena. And the Hera Arena was doing well. And we had signs that didn't make sense. This is not a unisex bathroom, but no stand. I haven't figured that one out yet. And by the way, that Hera Arena was standing tall. Outside, yep, there were the tongue-in-cheek little devices. For $1, you could have your own DVD rewinder. So lots of stuff going on at Dayton, Ohio. Over at the Kenwood booth was a unit that they hope to bring out at the Tokyo Fair, Ham Fair, very shortly. And it's a tri-band radio, 2-meter, 220, 440. But they're going to be working with ICOM, and this same radio from Kenwood will have D-Star capabilities. And in talking to Ray with ICOM America, he was very welcoming that we now have a radio from another manufacturer using this proven technology of D-Star. So Dayton was fun. HamCon, Colorado. Next year, we'll be going to Cody, Wyoming, and then the year after that, New Mexico, then Utah. So Amanda and Jeff and all those that took me over the hill. Michael, thank you so much for a great time. And now back to the show, and we'll show you the inside of HamCon and some of the shenanigans that were going on at the Dayton Ham Radio Convention next week. I'll hear you this Saturday, 14-325, working with the National Hurricane Center. Back to the net.
You know, I'm glad you're mentioning the Outbacker antenna. My first HF mobile antenna was an Outbacker, and my coolest HF contact ever was using an ICOM 706 Mark IIG 100 watts into an Outbacker Perth Plus on 20 meters mounted on the bed of my pickup truck, South Mississippi to Antarctica.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just the coolest. Just love those antennas. And you're right, those K400 mounts are the absolute best. I've used those I use those on the Outbacker, and I've also used that mount on the little Tar Heel and the little Tar Heel Plus. Those work really, really good. But we've got some news to get to from Amateur Radio Newsline, so let's do that now. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2012, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, May 25th, 2016. Hams throughout the Salvation Army's International Emergency Response Network, known as Saturn, are grieving the loss of one of Saturn's founding fathers.
Major Patrick E. McPherson, WW9E, who co-founded the Disaster Response and Relief Arm of the Salvation Army, has become a silent key. Saturn, or the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network, began in 1988 as a project McPherson undertook with three other radio amateurs. It has long since grown to be an international emergency communication and assistance organization and an official program of the Salvation Army. In fact, barely 2 months after its creation, Saturn already secured a prominent place on the disaster assistance map by facilitating communications between Jamaica and the United States during 1988's Hurricane Gilbert. McPherson had been Saturn's director for more than 23 years, leaving the post only 5 years ago. He died on May 14th in St. Joseph, Michigan. His legacy continues, however. The Saturnet meets weekdays on 14.265 megahertz at 1500 UTC. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
The year-long National Parks on the Air event rolls on, and it seems as if each activation is as unique as the various locations. The recent New River Gorge activation in West Virginia was no different. Here's Randy Dameron, N8XCA.
Well, today we're known as amateur radio trolls. because we are indeed under the bridge. It's been a great day for us. It all started with an idea back in December. I happened to catch ARRL's website about promoting the partnership with the National Park Service 100th anniversary, and they were encouraging amateur radio operators, of course, to pick their favorite national park. West Virginia, we have two, one up in the Panhandle, and of course the New River Gorge National River. And over the New River Gorge National River is the New River Gorge Bridge that is 3,036 feet long. And in the middle of the arch is 876 feet off the river. It's a very unique structure. We're very proud of it here in the state. It's also featured on our state quarter. It seemed to make sense, not just to be under the bridge for our station, but the unique thing about our special event station today is we're suspending two in-fed antennas under the catwalk of the bridge. That makes us pretty unique. So we're running 20 meters, 40
oh,
meters.
Oh, wow.
We're also running VHF on 2 meters, and we had some 6-meter contacts as well.
Randy is the brother of our own Jim Dameron, an 8TMW, who was also along for the fun. Dayton 2015 is in the books, but last week Paul Brown caught up with Arthur Kunst, W3WM. At 94 years young, he was packing his bags for the trip from his home in Pennsylvania for another of his many trips to ham radio Mecca.
Arthur was first licensed in 1939 and has remained active as a ham all through the years. In fact, as he approaches 94 years old, he's getting ready for another trip to Dayton.
I've been interested in Dayton for a long time, so I've had the opportunity to go there. I've probably been there at least 20 times. I really can't tell you how many times it is. I do know that on one occasion, my wife, who always went with me, went with the ladies' group, keep herself interested and happy, and she won the grand prize for the ladies in that particular year. It was a big outdoor road show type thing. Had difficulty bringing it back in the automobile. And then I've been a longtime member of QCWA, and one of the chapters in Florida, I learned that we had one of the original founders of the Dayton Hamfest, and he would tell us about how it all got started a long time ago. And as he represented it, he said that initially was a very small thing with a small concept in mind, the local type of a thing. And he said they would make all the plans around the kitchen table. And that was all that was necessary to do in those days. Well, it grew and grew and grew, and of course, the kitchen table did not suffice anymore.
Arthur Kunst is a ham with a fascinating story to tell and a lifelong fascination with amateur radio. We can all hope that we're still going strong when we turn 94.
There's more to Arthur's interview, lots more, and you can hear it all in this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. We also say goodbye to Newsline's dear friend Dave Bell, W6AQ. Finally, another reminder that the nominating period for the Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award is now open through the month of June. More information in the nominating form can be found on the Newsline website under the YHOTY tab. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 38 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Randy Dameron, N8XEA, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5TW. 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. You know, we're celebrating 5 years and one day of Ham Nation tonight here, but coming up in August, we will celebrate 30 years of the Young Ham of the Year Award. It started in 1986, and last night, via Skype, I caught up with our 1998 winner. His name is Richard Pekowski, KF4BIA. He won, like I said, in 1998. And Alex, if you can pull up this website that I've got the link there in the rundown, he has a website. It's a blog site. It's called frugalfloridafun.com. And because he's a ham, they're doing a giveaway. They're actually giving away an amateur radio and a license book and some other things. And they will even pay for you or whoever to take the technician license. Or if you want to upgrade to general, they'll pay for that as well. But they're giving that away. So if you go to frugalfloridafun.com/radio, you can find out more about how to enter that. And they're hoping to give that away before field day. Get somebody licensed before field day so they can get out and enjoy the fun. Because that was one of the things that they got Richard really involved in ham radio back as a 17-year-old. Back in 1998 when he won. It was awfully nice to catch up with him. And you can hear
pieces of that interview as the final story this week on Amateur Radio Newsline to be released on Friday. And if you go after Friday to the website, arnewsline.org website, you can hear the entire about 7 or 8 minute conversation that Richard and I had. It's fascinating. We talked a little bit about Bill Pasternak and a few other things about what he's doing these days. He's a father of two and enjoying life and still playing around with ham radio. So Richard Bukowski, KF4BIA, the 1998 Young Ham of the Year Award, still giving back to the hobby. And that's what it's all about. Now let's check out a word from ICOM, shall we?
Pioneer your path. Anytime is a good time for a new ICOM base station. Be one of the first to experience how ICOM is changing the way receivers are designed with ICOM's new IC7300. It will exceed expectations. It has RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. With ICOM's IC7851, when running with the big dogs, you'll be the leader of the pack with all the pileup breaking frequency running tools at your fingertips. 1.2 kHz optimum roofing filters, new local oscillator design with improved phase noise, several spectrum scope enhancements, and more. Other worthy candidates that cannot be overlooked, ICOM's IC7600 and IC7700. These radios feature LED backlighting on an ultra-wide 5.8-inch display, advanced DSP technology, and 3 roofing filters, spectrum waterfall display on an impressive 7-inch color LCD, audio scope function for AF observation, and direct remote control operation with ICOM's RSBA1 software. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's base station radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation and register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, you can also learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a radio. And for May, that radio is going to be the ICOM ID880H. VHF UHF digital transceiver does analog and D-Star, 50 watts on both VHF and UHF, wideband receiver, free cloning software, and much more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. And we shot a lot of video while we were doing some amateur logic shows at the ICOM booth at Dayton. I'll let you know when those are posted out there. We had a lot of great friends visit us. We had people on there all the way from 12 years old to 93 years old. And very interesting stuff to hear from that wide of age group there. So we'll let you know when that's available. But now let's get Amanda in here and see what's been going on in the chat room.
Hey, thanks, George. Love the moose, by the way. I think Gordo loves the moose, too. Is Gordo still with us tonight?
No, he had to drop.
Oh, I have a cute picture to show you guys of Gordo, though. This is not him wearing his shorts. He can't. Loveland Pass, 11,990 feet. It was blizzarding on them, you guys. This is so funny.
Wow.
Anyhow, I had to show that. I don't think Gordo got that photo, so... thank you so much for, and of course, Mike K0GUR is there in the selfie as well. Thanks, Mikey, for taking that. Gorda loved it. Okay, let's move on. First of all, there's some questions. Even though Gorda was mentioning the screwdrivers and stuff, George, I'm going to let you answer that. Will Yaesu's 857's auto-tune work with other screwdriver antennas other than the ATAS-120?
As far as I know, it will not. It only works with the Yaesu screwdriver. By the way, I've got one of those little Tar Heel 2s, and I really love it. And I've also got one of the Outbackers like Don and Gordo had there. Great antenna, too. But, no, I think if you want to use the tuning functions built in the Yaesu rig, you got to have the Yaesu screwdriver.
Very good. And I also wanted to talk about what a great Ham Nation seminar you guys put on there in Dayton. Unfortunately, Gordo and I put one on in Keystone, but we didn't have all of the rock stars there with us. So anyhow, couple of announcements here. WA9MED Jim would like us to know that he upgraded to Extra while he was in Dayton. Not all only that.
Yeah.
I know, that is cool. But not only that, his mom got her tech license there, and she is now KM4UCW. So congratulations to D as well. That's cool. And we have a ham fest coming up and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but I apologize. Pinellas Park, Florida. It's around Tampa Bay. It's going to, it's called the Worm Fest. Now, would you guys go to the Worm Fest? Don, I know you would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You said Pinellas Park, right? That's right. You said
okay. That. And you would go to a Worm Fest if you heard it called Worm Fest?
Of course. I live in Mississippi. I see alligator as roadkill on the side of the road every day going to work. I'm not afraid of no worm.
Oh, that's funny. Loud. Not only that, they also, it's a free entrance, so you guys should check that out. But when I hear Worm Fest, I'm thinking about my garden. I want to go help my tomato plants. So anyhow, different parts of the country, evidently. And that's about all the questions I got tonight. Oh, Bob, I do have one for you. I heard the Magic Band is opening. Have you had a chance to take a listen?
I missed that. You heard what?
The Magic Band is opening. Have you listened around?
Well, I haven't been home.
Oh.
Sarah and I finally get to drive to Springfield tomorrow. I don't have any radios at the home here in Illinois, so I have to wait till I get home. But that's what I hear, that it's sporadically open, so I guess we better start listening to 50 megacycles, right?
I heard some 6 not too long ago, a couple of days ago, that sounded pretty good. Yeah, 6 was opening up a little bit.
Okay.
I've been seeing some spots, definitely. And since Val's not here, I'm going to go ahead and announce there's a contest coming up this weekend. The WPX CW contest is the 28th and 29th. So all you CWs out there wanting to finish up your DXCC or ready to just work hard on a contest, tune in this weekend. Looks like the bands are going to be okay. Haven't seen any really major sunspots, but we need Dr. Tamitha to tell us about that. How's Dr. T doing, Don?
She's doing good. She's been very, very busy with work. She's in the process of selling one of her homes. I guess she had an extra home. I'm not sure, but she's in the process of selling a house. And she said that if she gets that sold, she'll be able to do a whole lot more, devote a whole lot more time to solar weather. And hopefully she'll be with us every week then. So fingers crossed for a quick full-price sale for Dr. T, and we miss her.
We do miss her very much. And I mentioned her in the Ham Nation forum I did in Keystone as well, because we all love her weather reports. And she does it so flamboyantly. I mean, she does a great presentation. One more
she's
announcement.
She's excited Katie's, about it. She's excited about what she like does. It? She loves it. Oh, she loves it. Yeah.
Well, I see her. She goes crazy on Twitter.
Yeah.
And she gets a lot of feedback on Twitter, and that's pretty cool.
She does live presentations. She does live presentations on Periscope as well. So watch for those if you have Periscope.
I didn't know that. Wow. Okay. And I've been seeing a lot of live Facebook feeds now lately, too. I saw a lot from Dayton. Evidently, that's a new feature of Facebook. So speaking of Facebook, you guys, don't forget to check out the Ham Nation Facebook page and also us on Twitter. That's going to help you keep up on when our nets are. What frequency, if we have to move frequencies, we're going to give you guys updates on that. So not to mention, we have nets going on right now. So look on 7180, 14268, 14 Charlie for D-Star, and do drop in for Echolink. So that's what I've got. Over to you, Bob.
All right. Well, it's been fun sharing some of our Dayton stories, and we'll have more next week also. And you will definitely want to pay attention to all the video, the complete video that George and Tommy did. So we'll keep you all posted on that kind of stuff, where it's going to be and so on. Next week, we'll have more here. But thanks so much for joining us tonight. And I want to thank Alex for sitting in tonight and pushing all the right buttons. And we'll... hopefully get to see Brian back here before long. And we'll take my PR-77. This is the first time this has been on the air. So I hope it's doing good, but you'll be hearing lots more of them the way it looks. It was a big play at Dayton this year. So 7-3, everybody. Have fun. We'll see you on the air. And I'll be back on the air late tomorrow night, and we'll see where we go from there. So 7-3. Take care, and bye-bye for now. This is K9EID and the entire Ham Nation crew. 5 years and a day and counting.